Iceland, where, with a stroke of his veto pen, the president has brought down a deal to allow Iceland to repay $5.4 billion it owes to the British and to the Dutch governments. That's how much money they paid out to their citizens who lost savings when Iceland's Icesave bank collapsed more than a year ago. The president decided not to sign the legislation passed by the parliament, no doubt influenced by a petition signed by a quarter of Icelanders. They don't want their money going to foreigners. Now it goes to a referendum. And so falls the credit rating. Iceland's credit rating was immediately downgraded by one of the leading lending agencies. We'll have more on that in a moment. But first, we hear from Stefan Ulvarsson, the owner of the Reykjavik fish restaurant, The Three Frenchmen. He's delighted with the president's decision.
I'm so happy, very happy about that, because this is something that we, the Icelandic taxpayers, want. They want to vote for this, and because we shouldn't have to pay with our tax money for some private bank that went bankrupt. They're so used to treat us like a colony, you know. Just they want to run over us and bully us. So I think we will manage, because we have everything in Iceland that we need. We have our fish, we have hot water, cold water, we have lots of export. So I think we will manage. I know there's going to be election in England now, and they need somebody to blame, and this is definitely going to be us.
Life's essentials, fish and water. Well, the British government is critical about the president's move. Paul Miners is the financial services secretary of the Treasury here.
The Icelandic people, if they were to reach that conclusion, would effectively be saying that Iceland doesn't want to be part of the international financial system, that Iceland doesn't want to have access to multinational, national and bilateral funding, and doesn't want to be regarded as a safe counterparty with whom to do business. I don't think the Icelandic people would be sensible if they reached that conclusion. So we will work with other governments to support the Icelandic government in getting the necessary referendum support.
So what will the government do? Earlier I spoke to Benedikt Stefansson. He's advisor and spokesman for Iceland's business minister in Reykjavik. What's his reaction to the president's move, and what's the government to do next?
It didn't come as a surprise, but it is still disappointing. The government has been working on this matter for well over a year now, and we have gone through two rounds of discussions in Parliament, and the bill on the Icesave issue was passed finally on December 30th after vigorous debate in Parliament, so this is a very disappointing matter for us.
But why do you think he acted in this way? You must have had a hint it was coming.
Yes, the president, actually, we have had this in our constitution, this power by the president, for now well over 60 years. And previously, presidents did not activate this. It was believed that this was basically a dead item. But this president did activate this in 2004 and use his powers. And the president in our constitution really has ceremonial powers. He does not enter into politics at other points in time. He believes that a large majority of the population is set against these agreements and wants to give the population a voice.
What can you do now?
We are in a tight situation, certainly. We will have to consult with both parties domestically to try to find a solution going forward. And we will, of course, also have to explain to the parties abroad that the government is still committed to honour its obligations. And so the president has really not done anything to obviate that, the fact that we are going to honour our obligations and try to move forward with our economic programme. But it is a difficult issue, and the way forward will have to become clearer in the next days or so.
But you must feel very torn, caught in a vice, really, because you talk about your international obligations, but you're facing the anger of your people, possibly on the streets.
Yes, we of course went through that last year, a lot of anger and frustration caused by the collapse of our banks and the economic problems that came with that. There was a new government elected into power in spring, and since then there haven't been demonstrations in the street in the manner that they were in January, February. So right now I think people can have a rational debate about the issue, fortunately. And if and when this goes to referendum, we will hopefully have a good discussion about the pros and cons. And I think that the government certainly has very good arguments.
Obviously, from where you sit, you want to think about the economic recovery of Iceland, and for you, keeping your international obligations and thus protecting your international image is absolutely crucial?
That is, yes, certainly very crucial for us right now. Iceland has made great progress. I mean, we have actually been hit with one of the worst financial and currency crises that any Western nation has gone through. And the economic effects on the general populace here have been very, very difficult and hard. Households have had to muddle through and had a really difficult time. And of course, in that context, we need to move on. We need to honor our obligations under both international and domestic laws. And this is a vital step in our economic program going forward.
Benedikt Stefánsson, advisor and spokesman to Iceland's business minister, speaking from Reykjavik.